How we doing, church? How about those last two songs, huh? They got me moving. Porque es Dios. That's Spanish. Got a little salsa back there on the drums. I love my water. I need water when I speak. Before we get into the word, I just have a couple quick announcements. I want to keep you guys posted on what's going on in Charlie's life, what's going on at The Rising. As we all know, Charlie is not in a good situation. He ended up making an appointment with the doctor. He didn't want to do that, mainly because they had experimental procedures that he was going through, and they were hoping to continue on that, and really they were just hoping that the doctors weren't going to try and screw anything up. But it seems like this is probably going to be a good thing. Just keep praying for him. They did some CAT scans, and it's getting looked over by the doctors now, and he should hear something tomorrow, so hopefully I'll have something more for you next week. And the envelope drive, it has been really good so far. We have the youth getting involved. I mean, I think with the youth alone, we're going to get like $50 or $60, which is awesome that they're contributing. I believe Kids Church is contributing. Everyone's getting involved, which is really awesome to see that we're really banding together. We had somebody give a donation of $1,500 to this church. So that's awesome. Things are happening. People are getting involved, which is really what we want to see. Right now, we have an estimated, if everybody follows through, you know, we have an estimated $9,600 so far, which is great. You have until December 21st to do this. So we still have plenty of envelopes available. And December 21st is when we are going to cut it off. We're going to try and collect everything. And that'll be it. That'll be final. It's all check better be in the mail. We can also, if you don't have cash for offerings, a little side note, we can do donations online. I know some people know this, a lot of people do. Surprisingly, a lot of people don't know. You can go to www.therisingcommunity.com, and up in the right-hand corner, there's a little button that says donate/tithe. You click on that, and you can tithe. If you have a PayPal account, you use that. If you don't, you can use a credit card. And the donations get sent right to us. So it's easy. If you get a checkbook, you don't have cash, not a problem. We have technology. We're trying to catch up. Trying to get up to date. All right. So are we ready for the word? Are we ready? That was weak. That was really weak. Yeah. Well, I hope we all are in a good mood, guys. The truth of the matter is we're not always going to be in a good mood. We're going to face trials sometimes. We're going to have certain circumstances come in our lives. And it's pretty cliche when we say, how you doing? I'm doing fine. It's easy for us to just go on about our day and just hear the words, how are you doing, and not respond honestly. You know, either we don't trust the people that we're telling with some of our stuff, or let's be honest, sometimes I don't want to really look at my own stuff and talk about it. But the fact of the matter is we're all going to go through things, right? And here at The Rising, we want to be a place that if you ask, how are you doing, we mean it. And if you're being asked, how are you doing, we can rest assured that the person really means it, and we have a safe place with them to share our struggles. See, The Rising, we believe that we're a spiritual hospital, right? That we're going to come for the sick. We're going to come for the people who are struggling, that are hurting, right? You don't go into a hospital and they say, how are you doing? What's ailing you? Nothing. I'm fine. I'm good. Just walking around. I just happen to love the smell of alcohol prep pads and disinfectant. You know, you don't walk into a hospital for no reason. You know, there's purpose to it. There's significance to it. And here at The Rising, we believe there's purpose and significance to what we do and what God has placed on our hearts. And so we want to be the nurses and the doctors to you. So if you are going through something, please grab somebody after. Talk to me. Talk to one of the leaders. We would love to help you through. Okay? So today's message is about suffering. It's about trials and circumstances that we go through, because this is an inevitable part of life. I want to come out of 1 Samuel 17. We won't read it right now. I just want to paraphrase because it's a big story. It's David and Goliath. We all know David and Goliath. If you don't know David and Goliath, we have kids' church down there. You can go there and then catch up with us later. So David is the least likely guy to be defeating this giant, right? David is a shepherd's boy. He's like the last of his like older brothers. I think one of seven, you know, the fathers, Jesse, how about your boy? And his brothers are in the military, you know, medals of honor and everything. And then he hears that this Philistine is dissing God. And he's like, what? Who's this dude coming at my God? He needs to be taken care of. He gets up all in an uproar, tries going down, telling everybody, I'm going to take care of this dude, right? Least likely guy to be in this position, right? So he goes up to the king. The king summons him, and he says, I can do this. I can defeat this guy. And the king's like, what? How the heck are you going to do it? He's like, trust me, I can do it, right? David had faith that he was going to be able to take care of the situation. He had faith in the fact that he was going to be facing something that was way bigger than him, way more difficult than anybody else was facing, but he knew that God was going to be with him. He understood the conflict that he was facing. He knew the trials were going to come, and as a shepherd, he knew how to tend the flock and to protect the flock. So before we finish the story, I think I want to go to James chapter 1, verse 2 through 6. And I want to talk about conflict and what the scriptures say about conflict. Before we go and unpack David and Goliath. So James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you are faced with trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. He gives generously to all who finding fault. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for this opportunity to give your word. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in the Rising's life and all the people here, God, the vision that you've casted on this church, Father. I thank you for the obstacles that are in our way, God. Teach us what it means to count these things pure joy, Father. Teach us what it means to persevere through these conflicts and what it takes, the faith that it takes to see it through. In Jesus' name, blot me out, Father, and let your words flow through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, James is telling us to count it all joy anytime we face circumstances. He says, once we face these circumstances, our character is going to develop. We're going to develop endurance, perseverance. And then he says, basically, if you're struggling, if you can't do this, ask God. If you need wisdom. And wisdom, as we know, I gave a message last year around this time, was called Wisdom's Call, and we talked about wisdoms and the many aspects of wisdom. And we know wisdom isn't the smart things old people say, right? It's more than that. It's the counseling in the Holy Spirit. It says the wisdom was in the foundations of the earth. So it was with Jesus at the time of creating. So wisdom creates things. It makes something from nothing. It's counsel, it's order. It's more than just wise counsel. So basically what James is saying is, when you're going through trials and you need help from God, don't be scared to ask. I think us as Christians, oftentimes we feel like we need to do things on our own, and we should have it all figured out. And even to the point where we know God is putting us through this, but we want to show that we have this, or I should know better than this. But it says, do not hesitate to ask God when you are facing these trials. So, this is a difficult concept. This is not an easy verse to swallow, to count things all joy. How many of us have gone through trials? Show of hands. Some of you all are lying. Everyone's hand should be up, right? Tell the truth, shame the devil, all right? How many of you that were going through trials were counting it all joy? Right? Hallelujah, God, broke my hand. Thank you, Jesus. Repo man's outside, God. Hallelujah. My arthritis is flaring up, God, but I thank you for the flare-up, Jesus. We don't count these kinds of things joy. We're generally not happy in these circumstances or the situations that we find ourselves in. And why would we be? This is countercultural. This is not what America does. This is not what the majority of the world does. The message of the world is life can be easy. If you work hard enough, eventually you can just hit cruise control and sit back, right? We're bombarded by this message. We see it all throughout television. And I just want to say, reality TV is from the devil, okay? If any of y'all are watching reality TV, you must repent, turn from your wicked ways, and sin no more. Because reality TV, it's garbage. It's trash. And it is one of the quickest growing genres since the history of television. And I'm going to tell you why. Because it appeals to our human nature. It appeals to the fact that we can compare ourselves against other people. Now, there's two main television shows that I cannot stand, and the general theme is usually intertwined within them. The first kind of reality show is we follow a bunch of rich people around, look at all their houses, count all of their cars, which is usually more than a four-year-old even knows how to count up to, look at their closets, which is the size of small condominiums. You know, they have pool houses bigger than most people's houses in here, right? And then the message that we see is if you have fame, if you're rich, your problems can go away too. You can have the good life. It's here, it's now, right? Show number two, we follow around a bunch of idiots and see them make a bunch of stupid mistakes and laugh at them and be like, ha-ha, at least I'm not you. This show makes us feel better after we get depressed from watching all the rich people, right? 6 o'clock rich people, 7 o'clock poor people, okay? It appeals to our human nature that we can compare ourselves against other people. And the underlining message is, I don't want to look at myself. I don't need to see what's going on in my life because I'm watching other people go through stuff and really it doesn't look that bad. It's a distraction from the conflict that we're currently in. It takes us away from the struggles that we should be going through. That we have to be going through. See, the fact of the matter is if we don't go through conflict, if we don't go through trials, we're not going to grow. Have you heard of the saying, no pain, no gain? It's true, and that's the title of my message today. It's no pain, no gain. So the first point I wanna make is that James is telling us we're going to have to do some work. Right, we're gonna have to probably get our hands dirty. We're gonna have to work this thing out. So the title of my first point is I work out. Okay, turn to your neighbor and say, you're looking good. Are you working out? Right. So let's be honest. How many of you are actually working out? Three of you. Okay. Four of you are actually. We need to get active. We need to start a ministry, jogging at the rising. See, for those of you who work out, know that you have to set goals, right? That the whole point of working out is I want to get in shape. I want to either, maybe I want to slim down, some of the women, get that hourglass figure. You know what I'm saying? Some of the guys, you want that six-pack ab, you want the V, the biceps. Usually we start working around spring so we can get it for the summertime, you know? Our workout seasons are short. But the idea is that we want to change how we look for the better. We want to be in better shape. We want to look better. We want to perform better, right? So we work out. Now, what I think is awesome about this analogy is, you know, we believe this here at The Rising is what you see in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. And I believe this is a perfect example of how spirituality grows within us if we look at how we work out. So what happens for the three of you that actually work out, four of you, what goes on if you are, say you wanted to bulk up, right? You're going to want to lift weights. Maybe if you want to slim down, you're going to have to jog. What essentially is going on when you're lifting weights, you're tearing your muscle fibers, right? If you go to a physical therapist or you get a personal trainer, he's going to tell you if you want to bulk up, you're going to have to do the maximum amount of weight that you can do 10 to 12 reps of for three sets. The point of it is you're going to have to reach a place where you're putting your body to its physical max, and you're going to have to reach a place of exhaustion. The same thing works when you're trying to lose weight. Your heart rate needs to be elevated for at least 40 to 45 minutes, because what happens is your body needs to burn its current calories and reach a state of caloric deficit till it burns the fat. Either way, if we want to change how we look, we need to put ourselves in a place of complete exhaustion. We're going to have to do some work. Now, those of you that are working out or have worked out, what ends up happening is you start seeing the changes. You start looking good, looking in the mirror, taking a couple selfies and be like, whoa, a couple months ago, I didn't look like that, right? You start seeing the benefits of working out. And so maybe you're curling like 25 pounds, and then the next month, maybe you're curling 30, 35 pounds, and you up it. And joggers, they're jogging 5 miles, and then they're pushing themselves to 6 miles and 7 miles. They realize that this is the key to their success. This is the reason that they're building endurance. This is the reason that their physical appearance is changing and they're growing, right? So in their moments of suffering, in their moments of trial and conflict against the weights, against running, they get excited. You hear people say, oh, that was a great set, or I pushed myself an extra mile. They are able to count it all joy because their present trials are changing who they are for the better. Here's what I believe that James is trying to tell us. I believe character development is revelatory. As we're shaped by God, it reveals something about His nature and thus clarifies part of our identity in Him. Are you with me? Just like our physical appearance, as we go through trials, it builds our character in Christ. And thus it reveals Christ as part of me to the world. So just like I'm building up those six-pack abs or you're slimming down, you are changing your physical characteristics. And I'm telling you, when you start working out, you're going to grow, you're going to change, you're going to start developing, and then you're going to run into people you haven't seen for a while, and they're going to be like, whoa, you're looking good. Right? You don't look the same. You've changed. You look better. And I'm here to tell you that when we start persevering through our trials, when we don't push away the suffering, we turn off the television, do something about what God has put in our lives, Christ is going to develop in our lives in a way that's going to reveal Him, is going to shine through, and I guarantee you, you're going to run up to people you haven't seen for a while, and they're going to say, you have changed. I haven't seen this before. Amen. There may be some of you that might be going through trials right now. Circumstances, tough times that you're going through. And I think as Christians, our knee-jerk reaction is to try and pray everything away. Right? This can't be from God. There's no way this is from God. God, you got to do something with my boss or I'm just going to quit. Right? God, help me to just remember all this information in an hour so I can cram for the test, even though I probably should have studied all week. We try to pray away our current situations. I'm here to tell you, these situations you're in may be the very thing that if you allow it to shape you, could turn you into the person that is going to persevere through the conflict. I believe that God doesn't put us in these situations, but in His sovereignty, He allows us to go through these situations and changes us into the people that can persevere beyond these things. And when we persevere, we recognize that was God. And when we see it again, we can remember what He's done. So when we're in it again, we remember, God got me through before. This is what David is doing. David's recognizing that this is no different than what God has done for me before. Catch my breath. So, my second observation is that James is talking about counting it all joy, right? And we see that when we persevere, counting it joy is the fact that we recognize that this is the very thing that could shape us and grow us and develop us. And then he talks about in verse 5 and 6 that it's by our faith in relying on God that we are going to be able to get through. Now, something that he ends up saying to us is that in verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, and he gives generously without finding fault. And 6 says, but when you ask, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. James is telling us, if we are going to ask God to help us, let's believe God's going to help us, right? We oftentimes want to pray to God. I do this. I am totally guilty. God, whatever you want, if you want me to move, I'm completely cool with it. But if you don't, I'm going to start making a life right here in the meantime, right? We like plan Bs, okay? We like safety nets, and we want to rely on God, and in the meantime, we're going to do our own plan right here. And what ends up happening is we start doing crazy things like throwing out the mat and be like, God, give me a sign. Give me another one. That wasn't clear enough. You know, get somebody else to tell me. 3-4 people telling us like, well, I think it's God. I just been doubting lately and I don't know. And I just, you know, I've been developing little something why I'm here. So I think I'm just going to stay. We like safety nets. We like the safe situations, right? This is what society tells us to do. This is what comes naturally. This is what we want to do. But James is telling us that when we face conflict and we rely on God, let it be God first. So my second point is, God doesn't use a safety net. I want to go back to our story, David and Goliath. So if you want to turn with me to 1 Samuel 17, we're going to start at verse 33. Are we there? All right, we got up there anyway. So David hears about this Philistine guy, right? He's like, this guy's dissing my God. I'm not cool with that. I want to go take care of him, right? Least likely guy to be doing this, okay? So he ends up getting an audience with the king, and he says to him, I'm going to take care of this guy. And the king, like a king should do, is how? How are you going to do this? You are a little dude who only knows about sheep. How are you going to take care of this? And so David says to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go fight him. Saul replies, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been fighting men since his youth. I want to tell you, don't let anybody in your conflict tell you that you can't get through. Don't let the people around you tell you you don't have enough schooling, you don't have enough experience, you haven't been doing this long enough, okay? Because there's going to be people who are going to doubt based on what they think they know about you. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock. I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. I want to tell you something. David did not list his resume of what he could and couldn't do. It may sound like, well, I killed a lion and a bear so I can kill this. That's not the point that he was trying to make. He was saying that just like the lion, just like the bear, I needed God. it was not me that killed the lion and killed the bear. So if God is going to get me through, he's going to get me through. Right? So just because you have gone through something before, do not compare it to your present circumstances. We often say, yeah, but I mean, I spoke in front of 30, 40 people before, but this is way different. This is like 300 people. We start comparing what we've gone through and start doubting our circumstance. And David could have easily done that. Well, I'm a shepherd boy. That was a lion and a bear, and I had a lucky shot. I hit him with a club. This is Goliath. There's kings relying on this. There's armies out there. This is way different. This isn't a lion and a bear. This is totally different. David recognized, he remembered, that the same way the Lord delivered me from the lion and the bear, he's going to deliver me from this Philistine. He remembered when God was with him before. David had built up endurance, right? He built up endurance, and it changed his character to get to the place where he had faith that when he relies on God, he relies on God. So as we go down, the king's like, all right, dude, if you want to do this, go for it. Bless you. Take your God with you. Maybe you want to dress up in some armor. You know, here, take my armor, my bronze helmet, my shield, my sword. It says, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened it on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he wasn't used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. I want to make a quick observation. I don't think David would have still used the armor even if it did fit him, right? I think David was being polite. I mean, this is a king, right? And as we know, reading later, this king is pretty crazy. He calls on David later on, we see, and he's playing the harp for him to calm him down, and he's chucking spears at him. This guy's a lunatic, so he's probably in there saying, like, no, what, this is a nice bronze helmet. No, this is cool. It looks good on you. You know, I'm not a bronze helmet sword kind of guy. You know, I'm cool with the pouch. I got this sling. I've been practicing for a while. So, you know, here, keep it. This is all you, dude. I think he was just being polite, you know? And when he says, I'm not used to these, I think what he's saying is, I'm not used to needing extra help when I know I'm relying on God. I'm not used to needing plan B. I'm not used to the safety nets. When I have faith in God, I have faith in God. And I believe that because as we go down, listen to what David says in verse 44. No, sorry, 41. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. David took over and saw that he was the only boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. They start trash talking about each other. Who's this Philistine guy? Are you sending me a dog? Right, verse 44, come here. And he said, I'll give your flesh and birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And then David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. He was boasting in the fact that he did not have the armor. David saw that I'm going to go out there and it's going to be evident that God is working through me. It's going to be evident that I'm relying on God and that God has the glory. If David went out with the armor on, he would not have been able to boast. He wouldn't. If he killed him, he probably would have had to drop the sword, drop the spear, grab for his rocks and his sling to kill him. People would have said that was a lucky shot. If he even did it. When God calls us out to do things, he wants us to rely on him. So it is evident that he is moving in our lives. it's so natural for us to want to reach for the armor. We're going through something. We're going through trials, and God's calling us out, but I want to reach for the armor. I want to challenge you to look at the people you're around. Who are the friends that are going to walk with you through the trials? Are they going to be there with you, cheering you on as you face your Goliath? Or are they going to try and hand you the armor? I don't know if you can do this. Look, just be safe. Just trust. David had the faith because he recognized what God has done in his life. He remembered, God saved me before. He's going to use me again. We can't forget how great God has been to us. We need to remember that when we persevere through these trials, through these moments of conflict, that this is the very thing that's going to change us. It's going to change who we are to reveal Christ in us. And as we reveal Christ in us, we show it off to the world. And it's by our testimony that people can be saved. David realized that this is a testimony of God working in his life. Oftentimes people ask me, you know, like, Jess, do you ever regret the path you went down, you know? And sometimes I think, maybe I kind of wish I went through different circumstances. But the reality is when I persevered through my circumstances, when I got through the conflict, when I gave up, I sacrificed, when I couldn't hold the weight anymore, my arms are burning, I drop it, I reach a place of exhaustion, call on God to get me through, it changed me in a way that I knew God was real. And when I talked to people, they knew God was real. And as I move in my life today, I remember, and I have to remember, that God got me through and he's gonna get me through. So can I regret it? No, because it's the reason I'm here right now. It's the reason I even have a microphone and I'm preaching to everybody, because I try to remember what God has brought me through. No matter what you're through, whether it's from your past or whether it's from the certain circumstances that you're in right now, because of what Christ did on the cross, he gave us an opportunity to redeem the past. We live in a fallen world. We were not promised that everything was going to be easy peasy, that everything was going to be simple. We were promised that God will be with us while we're here. And we have the opportunity to create good out of the evil that is here. I believe that we, all good comes from evil that is redeemed. And we're called to bring heaven to earth, and we do this by sharing in God's glory, by going through these circumstances, by going through our trials, developing our life. Bow your heads with me. Father, I just thank you for the trials that you've put in our lives, God. I thank you for the circumstances that you've put in my life, God. We don't understand why we go through things all the time, God, but we want to count it all joy as we leave this place, God. I pray that if anybody is going through something, God, that you can show them what it means to persevere through something. That you can show them what it means to follow you. God, we don't know why the rising is suffering right now. But we pray that when you show us and you ask us to step out, and we think that it's crazy that we don't grab for the armor. I pray that you strengthen our faith, God. Strengthen our feet. Make them steadfast, God. We know you're changing us right now, God. We know you're doing a great work in us. Your word says that he who is in Christ will be finished to completion until the day Christ Jesus comes. You are not finished with us, God. We know that it's tough right now, but in Revelations it tells us that there will be a day that you will come and dwell among us, and we will be your people, and you will be our God. Teach us what that means. Give us those little glimpses as we go through our trials. I thank you for everything that you're doing in my life and everyone at The Rising's life, God. And we leave this place counting our circumstances with joy as we persevere. In Jesus' name, amen.